This program is made possible by the members of the Church Street Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Psalm chapter 22, I want you to look at verse number 6. Psalm chapter 22 and verse number 6. Psalm 22, what you need to understand is this is what we call a messianic psalm. It is a psalm that tells us about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm chapter 22, if you look at verse number 1 where it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When did Jesus say that? On the cross. So the Psalm chapter 22 is what we would call a psalm of the cross. So it's talking about Jesus on the cross. And that's important to remember as I read verse number 6 to you. Psalm 22, verse number 6. But I am a worm. That is what Jesus felt like. He said, I am a worm and I am no man. I want you to write out beside the word worm, circle that word and write the scarlet worm. Or you can write this word coccus illicus. Coccus illicus. C-O-C-C-U-S. Illicus. I-L-I-C-I-S. Let me say it again. C-O-C-C-U-S. Illicus is I-L-I-C-I-S. And I want you to hold that in this hand right here. And now I want you to go over to the book of Joshua chapter 2 as we continue in Joshua. Joshua chapter 2, and I'm going to read to you verse number 21. Joshua 2, verse number 21. Joshua 2, verse number 21. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. This is Rahab the harlot speaking. So be it. And she sent them away, that's the two spies, and they departed. And she bound a scarlet line in the window. And this morning, I want to talk to you for just a minute on the scarlet cord and the scarlet worm. The scarlet cord and the scarlet worm. Joshua chapter 2, we remember last week we talked about how that Joshua and the children of Israel are on this side of the Jordan River. And they sit on this side and they are getting ready to cross over. But before that they cross over, the Bible says Joshua tells two spies. Now, we do not know who the two spies are. The Bible doesn't say, but Jewish tradition says that it is Phinehas, the high priest, and Caleb, the man of God. You remember, Caleb is the one that has already gone into the promised land 40 years before, and him and Joshua are the only two that believe. So they go in, and as they cross over the Jordan River, Joshua says, spy out the land, but especially Jericho. He sends them to what was in that day, modern day Sin City. It was modern day Sin City. We'd call it modern day Las Vegas. It's where every vice that could come up with would take place in that city. It was a place that did not know God and did not care to know God. And Joshua sent them in, but he didn't send them in to show them how wicked it was. He sent them in because Jericho was home to one of the seven kings of the Confederation of the Mesopotamian region. There were 31 defense cities that Israel was going to have to conquer. And as they were going to conquer them over the next 14 years, Joshua sends them to what we would call the Fort Knox of that day. The Bible tells us that it is a walled city on four sides. Now, Scripture tells us that on those walls are houses. So imagine how thick these walls are in order for a house to be up there. Even if you just put a porta-john up there, it's still a big wall. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, we're talking big, thick wall. And Joshua tells them, go and spy it out. So here's what they do. They go into the city as spies, dressed up like people of that day. And as they go into the city, the Bible says that there is a woman of the land who is a harlot, a prostitute, whose name is Rahab. Say that with me. Rahab. Rahab is a woman that has lived a life of sin. She has lived a life of debauchery. She has lived a life of wickedness. But somewhere along the way, the word of God has gotten to her because she takes these two spies and she brings them into her house. And this is what she says. She says, men, she said, I have already heard what your God did to Egypt. And I'm telling you right now, I know God has delivered this land and this city into your hands. Time out. When a prostitute has more faith than the people of God, there's something bad wrong going on in the house of God. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you, you know business is about to pick up when the prostitutes know about the power of God and the people of God don't know about the people know about the power of God. And so this harlot, she says, this is what I'm asking you. I know God is going to deliver this city into your hands. I know God's going to give you Jericho into your hands. Here's the only thing I'm asking. I'm begging you, beloved. I am asking you, beloved, will you please spare me and spare my family? When God comes into this city, I'm begging you, would you please give to me something that would tell me that your God will have mercy on my soul? I'm begging you, please pray that your God would have mercy on an old sinner like me. I'm begging you, when the walls of judgment come down, and when the fire of fury comes down, will you please beg your God to have mercy on my soul? That sounds like the repentant sinner in the Gospels whenever he said, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And here's what those two spies say. They said, if you'll keep our business, if you will be silent about what's getting ready to happen, we will be merciful unto you. And this is what she said. They're getting ready to check out of town. They've got to get out before the king finds out because the king has already heard that there are spies in the land. And so she takes them because they come to Rahab's house. And the king's guards come to Rahab's house. And he says, tell us where these men are. She says, man, they done gone. They're out of here. They checked out when they heard y'all were coming. They've already gone out the gate. So the king of Jericho sends the guards out into the land to find them. But what has she done? She's hid them on top of the roof under a stack of flax. We would call that today shingles, a pile of shingles. She hid them up under the pile of shingles. And so there they are. And her faith produced works. She said, I believe this God is going to rescue me and I'm going to hide his men. So she says, boys, she says, please have mercy on me. You know what they say? They said, that'll be fine. We know that God will deliver you because you have helped us. But watch what she says. She says, oh, no. I'm not just taking your word for it. I heard what your God did to the Egyptians. I heard what your God did to the people of Og and Bashan. I need a sign. Here's here's what she says. Give me something that I can rest my faith in. I can't just go off of a word. I need a sign that what you said will happen is really going to happen. And here is what Caleb and Phinehas said. They said, ma'am, here's what you do. In your house, we don't know where the scarlet cord came from. But she said, take this scarlet cord and I want you to hang it out your window. And when we see that scarlet thread, that scarlet cord, then we will know that you are the one that needs to be rescued. Listen, it was their word and the word of God that she believed in, but it was the cord that was a sign of her belief. This is what she was able to rest her faith in. Ladies and gentlemen, here's what you've got to understand. Remember what I've always told you, congregation? Everything in the Old Testament is pointing forward to who? Jesus. Everything in the New Testament is pointing backwards to who? Jesus. Everything from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22, it's all about one man, and that one man is the God-man. That God-man is the Son of God and the Son of Man put together in one body, and it's Jesus Christ. So I want to show you this morning from this scarlet cord that Jesus Christ is our salvation from the fires of judgment. He is our salvation when the walls start tumbling. Listen, I know all I ever talk about is how Jesus is this and Jesus is that. But here is the song that my spirit keeps singing on the inside. Every time I try to change tunes, I get that old melody in my heart that there is just something about that name. Listen to me. I know there are other preachers that preach better than I do. I know there are other preachers that preach greater than I do. But there's not one preacher in this entire world that has a greater message than I do, because my message is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The sweetest name that I know. And you know what I find out about the sheep of God? I find out that the real sheep of God never tire about hearing about their shepherd. It's the goats that get tired about hearing about the shepherd, because those goats want to be rebellious and those goats want to jump around and dance around, and that shepherd has to draw out that staff and rod and pop every now and again and give them the old action. You know why? Because they're disobedient and they're rebellious and they don't have the nature of the shepherd. But those sheep, they love it when the shepherd comes around. Those sheep enjoy it when the shepherd comes to town. And I'm finding that the true people of God, those people that have been birthed in the power of the Holy Ghost, washed in the blood of the Lamb, they just enjoy it. Not when the goat entertainer comes in, not when we bring popcorn and clowns, but when the shepherd comes to town and Jesus gets exalted. Good God in heaven, the real sheep, they enjoy just when the shepherd shows up. So if you'll just let me, flock of God, I'll talk about the shepherd for just a little bit this morning, and I'll exalt his name. I won't tell you about the new clown in town. I won't tell you about the new Jack that's come back. I'll tell you about Jesus, the eternal Son of the living God, that is found in this court. Keep that Bible open, because the thread, this scarlet thread, is used. Three things are said about this thread. Miss Kim, find me chapter 2 of Joshua and verse number 12. Look in your Bible, because the first thing that is said about this cord, we find out about the sureness of this cord. Number 1, look in verse 12. She says, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show unto my father's house kindness. Watch this. And give me a true token. So the first thing we find out about this is it is a true token. That word true, it means valid. It means assured. It means real deal. It means absolutely, positively, certainly what's going on. She says, number 2, give me a true token. That word token, it's the word oath. We get the word oath. Here's what she's saying. She's saying, give to me something that I know you will keep your word. You know what she's asking for? Give me a sign that you will keep your covenant. So this thread, this scarlet thread that she had, was a sign that she and they had a covenant together. And if she kept her side of the covenant, they would keep their side of the covenant. Let me exalt the Lord Jesus right quick, brothers and sisters. Do you know what happened on top of Calvary's Hill? That's where God came down and He made a covenant with His only begotten Son. He didn't make a covenant with man. He made a covenant with Himself. And this is what He said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, long about verse number 15 down through verse 17. He said that Jesus, no, verse number 1 down through verse number 4, He says that Jesus Christ, there is not a man that stands between God and man, but Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 15, Romans chapter 9, verse number 10 down through verse number 13, you know what they say? That Christ is the mediator of the new covenant. Do you know what the new covenant is? Here is what the new covenant says. The old covenant says, if you've been circumcised and you keep the 613 laws of Moses, then you are righteous in the sight of God. Do you know the problem with those laws? No man could keep it. Oh, but there was one man that came along in the glory world and he said, Father, I'll go and I'll keep your law. I won't do away with your law. I've not come to do away with it, but I've come to fulfill it. He said, I've fulfilled every jot and I've fulfilled every tittle. And His name was Jesus Christ. He never had a wrong thought. He never had a wrong action. He never had a wrong motive. And He kept the law. And you know what happened on Calvary's Hill? God cut a covenant with Him. Here's what He said. He said, whosoever is found in you will be righteous in my sight. You say, what's the sign of the new covenant? Are you ready for this? Do you know what the true token that Jesus is who He said He is and God will save you? Here's the sign of the new covenant. It's in His wrist and it's in His side and it's in His feet and it's in His head. Every time the Father ever thinks about casting us aside, honey, you know what He does? He looks at the scars of the crucified Lamb of God and He says, righteous, righteous, they are righteous. It's not my good works. It's not my good action. Good God, I feel Pentecostal this morning. It's not in what I can do and it's not in what I can say. It's all in Christ. It's all in Jesus. It's in the blood of the crucified Lamb of God. You know what she said? When y'all see that scarlet cord, that's the true sign that you'll keep your covenant. Are you ready for this, beloved? When Jesus Christ comes and gets me, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to march into the glory world with my beloved Savior, and the Father's not going to ask me one question. He's not going to look at me one time. He's going to look at the Son, and He's going to say, boy, who do you have with you that's following you up to glory? And He's going to say, Father, this is whom I have died for. These are they that have been brought out of great tribulation, and these are they that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God, the true sign of the covenant that we have with God. You know what you can say now when the devil comes along and he tells you you're not good enough, you're not great enough, you've messed up too much? You know what you can say to the devil? If you've been saved by the grace of God, you can say, devil, talk on, big boy. Keep on saying what you want, because it's not in works of righteousness which I have done, but it is by His mercy that He has saved my soul. It's in Christ. It's in Jesus. And He is the true token that God will do what He said He would do. Number one, He's the true sign. He's the sureness of the cord. And I'm going somewhere, so I got to get there. Just hold on. Number two, I want you to notice the strength of the cord. Miss Kim, pull up, if you will, verse 15 of chapter 2. Verse 15, he uses another word for this scarlet thread. Here's what he says in verse 15. Then she let them down by a cord. Now, I thought this was a true token. It is, but it's also a cord. You know what a cord is? A cord is what happens when you take thread. That word cord, it means to bind together. Now, I don't know if y'all can see this or not, but this is one rope that's been bound together. And you know what happens when you bind rope together. Huh? Get strong. Give strength. Now, you can take the same anatomy of thread and try to dangle on. I love it when people say, you're hanging by a thread over hell's mouth. No, I'm cool. I want more than a thread. Because I'm going to tell you something. These britches are a whole lot tighter than they used to be. I'm going to need more than a thread. I need something stronger than a thread. Here's what she said. She said, boys, I've got something that's stronger than a thread. You say, why does it have to be strong? Are you ready for this? Because if it's not strong, number one, it can't bear their weight. Do you know the only way they're getting out of that house? They're jumping through the window. My grandma told us the other day that if we didn't like it, we could jump out a window. That ain't good. I'm the man of God. She told me to jump out a window. And I got to thinking about that the other day. If I'm lying, I'm dying. She told us to jump out a window. My mama was there. My wife was there. My kids were there. Chad, how do you undo this thing? Come undo that thing right there, brother. Here's what they needed. They had to have something that could bear the weight of their flesh. They had to have something that could bear the weight of what they were. And here's what happened. Here's what they would do. What they would do is they had to have something strong. They had to have something that could bear their flesh. Say that. Had to bear their flesh. It had to be something that was stronger than their flesh. Let me have that right there. I'm going to take one end. Oh, I tied it together. Chad, undo one of those ends, brother. It had to be stronger than their flesh. Because if their flesh was stronger than that thread, when they were dangling out of that window, their flesh would overwhelm that thread. Am I right about that? You understand what I'm saying? So here's what they had to have. They had to have something that was so strong that when it got anchored in a place that they could not see, when it got anchored in something that they could not behold, and they put their faith in that thing, and it got anchored in a place where they had not been yet, and it got anchored in a system that they had. Here's what they did. They said, you know what? I'm putting my faith in the fact that this cord is stronger than my flesh. This cord is stronger than who I am. You know what this was? This is a picture of the strength of the blood of Jesus Christ. What kind of Savior is Jesus if He can only take care of one of my sins? What kind of Savior is Jesus if He can only forgive a few of my sins? But here's what you got to understand about that cord. No matter what I do, no matter where I go, no matter how much my old flesh pulls on that cord, do you know what that thing's not going to do? It's not going to break. It can handle the weight that is put upon it. So here's what I do. I put everything that I am on that thing. I put all my flesh. I put all my power. I put all my strength on that cord. And you know what it does, Brother Bob? It lasts and it holds up. I remind you this morning that it's not my good works, it's not my power that saves you, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the God-man, and you put all you are on Him. I'll tell you what He'll do. He'll never break. He'll never let you down. He'll never collapse under the pressure. You say I'm bad, I say He's good. You say I'm down, I say He's up. You say I'm black, I say He'll cleanse you from that old sin. You say I'm wretched, I say He's wonderful. You can't put too much on God. He's got power and He's got strength. You say, how much weight can He bear? How much weight do you have? You say, I'm a big boy. I wonder if old Caleb said, man, I don't know if I can handle it. I don't know if I can hold on. Do you know what I think they did for old 80-year-old Caleb? Honey, I think they wrapped him up in that cord. I think they strung him up like a spool of yarn. I think they wrapped it all around him. And I think this is what that old boy Phineas said. He said, Caleb, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to hold on to Him. He'll hold on to you. And when you get to falling down, good God in heaven, when you get to falling down and you feel like you've let go, you can take your hands off, honey, and He'll still hold on to you. I say, good God in heaven, that's where we get the doctrine of eternal security. You say, I'm going to lose my salvation. You can't lose what you didn't buy, and you can't turn in what you never owned. It was given to you by God. God. It was paid for by God. And I'm telling you, this is what happens in my life. Jesus says, I'll take care of the unwinding. I'll take care of this. Then I get all tangled up in it. And I say, God, I can't unwind anymore. You know what he says? That's not your problem. That's my problem. And I'll take care of it. That's the strength of the scarlet cord. But watch what he says. Watch what it says. Now, Miss Kim, go to verse number 18. The Bible says in verse 18, behold, when we come into this land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread. That word scarlet, it's the Greek word or the Hebrew word shani. S-H-A-N-I-Y. Shani. It literally means it's a worm. That worm, I'm going to show you a picture of it in just a second. That worm, don't do it yet, Kim. That worm was called a scarlet worm. Do you know how they would dye this thread? They would take this worm called a Coccus illicus, and they would crush it, and they would take the residual and they would dye something crimson. Now I want to show, they called the Coccus illicus the scarlet worm. I want to show you a picture of the worm. This is what the worm is. That is a Coccus illicus. Now, if you'll give me about 8.5 minutes, don't look at your watch, 8.5 minutes, I want to give you one of the greatest pictures of the gospel in nature, if you'll let me. That worm right there is called the scarlet worm. Now, I'm not making this up. You can Google it if you want to. It's called the scarlet worm, and this is what happens. That worm right there is only able to reproduce babies one time in its life. Here's why. Because in order to reproduce, it has to give its life in order for the offspring to live. Now, here's what happens. What that worm will do is when it comes time to reproduce a baby, she will attach herself to a tree. She literally impales herself to a wooden post. I've got a picture of what she'll do. What she'll do is she will turn herself into a shell. She will emit this substance and literally turns her body into that shell. All right, Kim, go to the next one and you'll get a good picture of how she impales herself. You see how she's wrapped her body around the leaf? Are you ready? Here's what happens. That shell is so hard that if she tries to undo it from the tree, she'll rip herself apart. So here's what she does. She is fully committed once it starts. She says there is no turning back from this point. Does that remind anybody of what the Lord Jesus said in the garden? Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Here's what will happen. Inside of that shell is so hard, the babies are born in there. And once the babies are in that shell, they are protected from anything on the outside. Nothing can get on the inside to them. But watch this. How do they get food if they're inside? They literally have to eat her body and digest her flesh. What did Jesus say? except ye eat this body and drink this blood, ye have no part with me. Jesus said, my body is the bread and my blood is the cup of redemption that is shed for you for new life. Now watch this. After that, those babies completely ingest that mother. Here is what happens. This mother, as soon, the very last thing she does right before she dies is she emits a crimson dye. It's one last hoorah, and she squirts it out everywhere, and that's what she does. And here's what it'll do. It dyes the leaf and the tree, and it stains the babies, and it never comes off. Whenever they go anywhere, do you know what those other animals in the animal kingdom realize? Somebody gave their life so that they could live. Somebody paid a price so that they could have life. And watch this. Here's what happens. Do you know what happens to that red thing after they leave? After that, the babies get out. You know what happens? Are you ready? Cindy, you ready? 3 days after she dies. 3 days after she dies, that red shell, it turns a waxy white and it falls to the ground. But it's so light and airy, you know what scientists say it looks like as it falls to the ground? They say it looks like snow that falls to the ground. I'm thinking of Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18, where the writer of Isaiah said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I shall make them as white as snow. That's why Jesus on the cross in Psalm chapter 22, verse number 6, he said, I am a worm. Do you know what he is? He is the scarlet worm. Now let me just put all that down in shoe leather so you can take that to the house and chew on that while you think about Chick-fil-A. Say amen right there. Here is what it means. You know what happened? Jesus was fully committed to the process of redemption. He didn't have to die. He wanted to die. He wasn't under obligation to give his life. He freely offered it up. Do you know why he impaled himself to the tree? He did it so that those that would be in him would have everlasting life. And I remember where I was at the back of the Vandalia Baptist Church as a 16-year-old boy when I felt that hard shell of God's power and that hard shell of God's grace begin the process of wrapping around me. I felt that process wrap around my soul. I felt that process began, and here's what happened. Them old spiders and them old bugs and them old birds and those old useless cats and all that other stuff straight out of hell, I'll tell you what they do. They come a-hunting my soul. Then the demons and the devils of hell, you know what they find when they get there? There's too much blood on the outside. I'm wrapped up too tight in the crimson and there ain't a lickety thing they can do about it. I'm too protected by the shell of God's protective power. Here is what I'm trying to tell you. You're too saved to get unsaved. You're too washed to get unwashed. You've got too much God on your soul to get undone. Here's what I'm trying to remind the people of God. It's all Christ. It's all Jesus. It's all the blood. It's all Christ. Here's what happens. You know what I find? I get on that shell and I can't get that stuff from the world in my soul. So what do I feed on? Here's what I feed on. I find the more of Jesus I get in my soul and the more bread of the word I get in my life and the more blood gets on my spirit, I get happy and I get filled and I get washed. And here's what happens. The Lord Jesus, when he saved my soul, the last act that he did before he said it is finished, the Bible says we were saved before the foundation of the world. Explain to me how that works, that long before the foundation of the world was ever laid down, you were already seated in heavenly places. I don't understand that, but I sure enough do enjoy it. Here is what happened. Long before I ever was saved, I was already written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. How does that happen? I don't know, but I'm happy about it. Say amen right there. And I got happy and I got washed and now I'm a feasting. But the last thing he did is he stained my life and he stained my soul and he put that crimson flow. So now everywhere I go, people looking at me and they say, what's wrong with you? Why do you look like you do? You know what I say? I look like I do because somebody gave their life for me. I look like I do because somebody was killed for me. You say, who was he? He was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You say, they don't notice that. All right, let me give you a little illustration of how crazy people are and how much they want God. Here are you. Listen, y'all know me. I am just about committable. You understand what I'm saying? Gene, I love Biscuitville. I will not be going back to this one Biscuitville. Now watch, you're going to think I'm lying. I got a witness. That boy right there was standing right with me. Here's what happened. All I wanted was a plain biscuit and a cup of orange juice. I don't feel that is a very difficult order. In and out, 3 minutes, should be cool. I'm standing there, plain biscuit, ma'am. Large orange juice. All of a sudden, one of the employees, I see her shoot out. I'm talking like Kentucky Derby. Boom. Well, I just figured she was diligent about filling the car. I didn't know idea what she was doing. All of a sudden, I feel somebody. Come here. If I'm lying, I'm dying. I'm telling you right now, Court, if I'm lying, I'm dying. Okay, just be quiet. Honest, I'm standing there. Come stand right in the middle. Here's what she does. I don't know how this stuff happens to me. I have no idea. And this is what she does. Court, if I'm lying, I'm dying. She goes, I want some of that God. I want some of that glory. I want some of that Jesus. Court, if I'm lying, I'm dying. Did she not?
She did.
Yeah, I know she did. I was standing there when she rubbed my arm, son. And I first of all, I took hand sanitizer. I mean, I'm bathing. I can't stand. I mean, you're back here touching raw chicken, raw. I got in the car, and Corey said, well, that was embarrassing. I said, you think? And I've been processing that all week. I've been processing that all weekend. Do you know what it is? Listen, y'all know me. There's nothing special about me. I do not claim to be anybody special. I don't claim to be anybody powerful. But I do believe that like old Rahab the harlot, there is an aspect of people in the world, and they are hungry. They have been they're so sick and tired of the mess that they have seen in this world, and they don't know where to go to get the real thing. But all of a sudden, when people, not perfect people, not people that have any charisma, but people that have been doused in the power of the blood of the Lamb of God, that's why people come around you and they say, what's different about you? What is it? Why are you acting like you're acting? You don't say the things you used to say. You don't act. You know what it was? That blood got sprinkled on your life. And that old world, they realize that something powerful is on you. Ladies and gentlemen, here is what I'm trying to tell you. That if you've been saved by the grace of God, there is a crimson river flowing over your life. And the world needs to know that you've been washed in the blood, sanctified by the Holy Ghost, ripped down, tipped down, and turned up in the power of the good God of eternity. Here is what I'm telling you. Jesus gave his life, shed his blood, and died your death so that you could live his life. Here is the deal God made with him, and he makes it with you. He says if you want him to take your death, then you must give him your life. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is the story of the crimson cord and the scarlet worm. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ.